Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to Psalms 119. That's where our text is going to be. And after you find Psalms 119, turn back to Psalms 92, all right? To the 92nd Psalm. So we'll look at a few things here. I do want to remind you that 2 weeks from last night is our annual Thanksgiving stew supper, all right? I'll remind you again, what we do is we move the Wednesday night service to Tuesday, and we move it up, and not only one day, but we move it up about an hour, all right? Try to start about 6:30 and just have a good time of fellowship. And I've got an idea of a few things to do differently this year, so think about doing that. So don't forget about it, all right? Amen. Don't forget about it. Be involved, get involved, and be here and enjoy yourself, all right? I mean, fellowship and food, there you go. I don't know anything else to tell you, all right? Don't know anything else to tell you. Look in Psalm 92, verse 1. The Bible says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Notice, it is a good thing to give thanks. And I was thinking about it real early this week, maybe last Sunday even. And I'm thinking, here we are, we're in the Thanksgiving season of the year. And usually what we do is we tend to have one, maybe Thanksgiving service, and then we move on to Christmas. And we start looking ahead to that. Well, I thought, let's not do that this year. Instead, I want to spend a few, you say, how many? I don't know. But a few services and speak on several things for which we can and should be thankful. And just here we are, we're Christians. There's some things we ought to be grateful for. So if you will, now back to Psalm 119, look at verse 14. The Bible says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Now listen, it says, I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. If you're familiar with the 119th Psalm, the whole psalm is about the word of God. Sometimes it calls it, like verse 16 did, thy word, okay? Sometimes it calls it statutes, like it does in verse 16. Sometimes it talks about thy precepts, like in verse 15, all right? Sometimes it talks about testimonies, as it does in verse 14. But all of these are related. It's the word of God that the psalmist is talking about, all right? And I just want to begin tonight, and talking about things we ought to be thankful for, man, if there's one thing we ought to be thankful for, it's the Bible. Amen. The Bible, all right? Amen. Now, I know everybody says, oh, preacher, oh, yeah, we are. But let's look at the truth, all right? Let's look at the truth just a bit. It is so easy for us to take the Word of God for granted. So easy for us to do it. If you're like me, you got numerous copies of it around the house. But sadly, the majority of Christians have never read it all the way through. They've never read the whole Bible. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you have, all right? But I want to ask you this. How long were you saved before you did? Okay? Now, you don't have to stand and testify, okay? But how long were you saved? How long were you saved before you did read it all the way through? If you have read it, all right? Then I think about the testimony of missionaries that take the Bible and give it to people in foreign lands. And they talk about folks rejoicing, crying, taking the Bible and hugging it to their bosom. And, in many cases, first Bible they've ever had. Sometimes first one they've ever seen. Hey, we ought to be thankful. Amen. Thankful for the Bible, all right? So I just want to give you a few things along that line tonight. Number one, we ought to be thankful for its restrictions. Its restrictions. He said, what do you mean? I'm talking about those thou shalt not. All right? Those things that most people kind of bow their neck up at, and, you know, well, I don't like that negativity. Hey, we need the negative at times. We need to hear that negative at times, you know. Can I just be honest with you? I haven't always liked it when the Bible said you can't. Don't do that. There's restriction there. But I want you to think about it, all right? I'm thankful for the restrictions that the Bible places upon us. Go back, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Here's just the simple recording of what we call the Ten Commandments, all right? In Exodus chapter 20. But I want you to look at just a few of them with us, all right? There's some of these, they put some restrictions on us, all right? They offer some restrictions. They say don't. They say thou shalt not, okay? Look, if you will, in verse 3. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's the word of God. Verse 5, all right? Take a look there at verse 5. Verse 5 says this, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He said, preacher, we don't serve any other God. Maybe not an idol or image, but boy, sometimes we sure do let things get ahead of God in our life. All right? The Bible said, don't do that. Don't do that. Then look at verse 13. Verse 13, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, there's some restrictions God puts on us. But I want you to think about them. You know, very simple truth, yet what a difference it makes if we just do what those things say. If we just, I put it this way, if we just don't do what he says don't do. You think about it just for a minute. You say, what'll it do for me? Help you stay out of jail. Amen. Yes, sir. You start killing people and there's a good chance you're going to wind up in jail, all right? Even in this day of loosely dealing with criminals. So it'll help you stay out of jail. Well, wait a minute. Think about those things. You know, so often we talk about, we look at those things about like thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not bear false witness. And the truth of the matter is we apply that more to kids than we do ourselves. We look at kids and say, don't do it, all right? Well, wait a minute. You realize if you'll just heed those, it'll give you the respect and the trust of men. People that know that person tells the truth. Hey, they won't steal from me. I've talked to people before in business and said the hardest thing is to find an employee that won't steal from me. What a sad commentary. So I'm telling you, if we just obey those things, those restrictions, it brings us the respect, it brings us the trust of men. And I'll tell you this, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You say, preacher, wait a minute. Hey, unfortunately, it's happening way too much. Way too much. Hey, if we'll just obey that, it'll contribute to a happy home and a happy marriage. Just things work better, all right? Things work better. So what are you saying? I'm saying thank God for the restrictions he puts on us. He gives us this word. A lot of people say, oh, I don't like all that, thou shalt not. Thank God for the restrictions. Thank God that God's put out there. You know, I do it. I look at, I think, you know, if we're not to rebel against the book's restrictions and thank God for them instead because of what they do for us. I say it this way. Don't try to climb the fences that the Bible puts around hell's sinkholes. Don't try to climb the fence. Be content Bible says, thou shalt not. Just say, okay, I won't. I won't. You know, it's amazing how we struggle with little things. I'm glad God put some restrictions out there. I'm glad he just put them out there and said no. Hey, my dad, he put restrictions on us. I hope your parents put restrictions on you, all right? They said, hey, there's some things you can't do. Second thing I want you to see, go with us over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second thing I'm so thankful for, and I believe we ought to be thankful for when it comes to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll start reading verse 16. You're going to go, boy, I've heard that 100 times. Good. We'll make it 101 tonight, all right? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hey, I just want you to look at that word reproof. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the rebuke that God gives us in His Word. The rebuke that comes across. Now, I'd be happy to raise my hand and tell you, I do not like to be told that I am wrong. I'm kind of like the guy that said, I might not always be right, but I ain't never wrong. All right? But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we are. We're just wrong. And when it's in our life and the way we're living, if it's wrong, then we need the rebuke, all right? So thank God for the rebuke that we have in His Word, all right? Hey, we will never get right if it wasn't revealed that we were wrong. We get right because we realize we're wrong. We're wrong. Hey, I got saved because somebody preached the Word of God to me. Now, Sunday school teachers taught the Word of God. Brother Garrett was my teacher when I got saved, and he was teaching the book of Revelation. I'm so glad for the rebuke that was given. I'm glad God still rebukes us. There's a lot of rebuke in the book of God. Hey, don't let that bother you. Thank God that it's there. Thank God that it's there. You consider, what would it, if it wasn't there, we'd just keep on being wrong. We'd keep on going wrong. Thank God it's there. I'm glad. You know, I kind of get aggravated sometimes at those GPS things that talk to you. And you're driving along and they say, okay, make a U-turn at the next place. Because what they're telling you is you're wrong, you missed your turn, all right? You missed your turn. Hey, I'm glad God's put some rebuke to us to tell us you're wrong. You're wrong. Hey, what you're doing is wrong. Not only what you're doing, but hey, the way you're doing it, it's wrong. The attitude you have, it's wrong. That rebuke, you say, I don't like it, but it's a good thing you have it. Good thing you have it. You say, well, how bad would it be if we didn't have it? All right, I'll give you an example. If you didn't have any rebuke, what would it be like? Well, you want to know? Just take a look at a spoiled kid. Just take a look at a spoiled kid. A spoiled kid is a child that's never had rebuke. Never had rebuke. We've dealt with some over the years in school. And it's almost like, what? It's like, what do you mean I can't do that? What do you mean I'm wrong? It's almost, now, I've never had a kid actually say it, but it's almost the look on the face says, how dare you? Why, then they've been rebuked. You've got the little princess. All right? Hey, you got a spoiled brat. Now, to be honest, I don't know about you, but I'm like to be around them. I hear grandparents all the time. Now, we just take that kid and spoil it, then we send it back home to the mom and dad. Not me. I don't want spoiled brat at my house if it is kin to me, all right? I'm sorry, I don't. I can remember telling my son and my daughter years ago when we had some kids at our house because of some issues that were going on in their house. And so we dealt with them, and after they were gone, I looked at both of my kids and I said, I just want to tell you, if you raise your kids to be like those, don't you bring them to my house. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. Hey, I think I've already swatted the rear end of pretty much all of my grandkids. You say, why? I don't want them to be spoiled brats. Well, wait a minute. God doesn't want us to be spoiled either. So God rebukes us. God rebukes us so we get right and we'll realize, hey, we're wrong. We need to make some course corrections here, all right? Hey, thank God for the Word of God and its restrictions. Thank God for its rebuke that it gives us. Then thank God for its revelation. Man, there are so many things revealed in the Bible. There's no way in the world we could talk about all of them. It's impossible. I'll just give you a few to think of. Aren't you glad that this book revealed the danger you were in as a lost sinner? Man, I'm glad that it showed up and it revealed the danger that I was walking in, and I was headed for somewhere I didn't want to be. Hey, I'll tell you, eternity in hell awaits the lost sinner. I'm glad that we have a revelation from God about sin. And I'm glad it reveals to us what sin is. Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So if you know to do good and you don't do it, that's sin. The Bible says sin is a transgression of the law. What does that mean? That means you break God's law. That's sin. That's sin. Hey, I'm glad that the Bible reveals that. There's a lot of people that live in their life like nothing's sinful. But I'm glad God revealed sin. He shows us. He showed us the danger we were in as a sinner, all right? But then he turned around and revealed the way to heaven. Aren't you glad, man, he didn't? The Bible didn't leave you helpless and hopeless in your sin. I'm so glad of that. It pointed out, you know, I heard Pete Ruckman one time preaching years ago, and he talked about how before he got saved, he actually stole a Bible. And he said, I took that book home. He said, I didn't know anything about the Bible. And he said, I would open it up and put my finger down. And he said, everywhere I put my finger down, it just peeled my hide off. And he said, I'd get mad and take it and throw it across the room. Said, but after a little while, I'd go back and pick it up again, and I'd do my same great search method. Just flop it open, put my finger down. He said, when it did, he peeled my hide off again. It revealed that sin. Now, in his case, he said, I couldn't find any way out of it. He said, everything it was telling me what was wrong and how it was wrong. But he said, I didn't never put my finger down on the place that said, now here's a way to fix it. But God led him to cross the path of a soul winner in a radio station, Brother Hugh Pyle, in Pensacola, Florida. And he spoke to him going out one day. Hugh Pyle had just gave his radio program, and Pete Ruckman spoke to him and said, how's it going, preacher? And Brother, Brother Pyle said something along the line, well, it's going great for me. It always goes great for me. How about you? To make a long story short, before they left the station that day, Hugh Pyle took him into a room, opened the Bible, and led him to Christ. Hey, the Bible reveals our sin, but it also reveals the way to heaven. It showed us that. Not only that, it reveals to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Remember there at the Mount of Transfiguration? There they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter is normal talking. He said, let's do this, you know. And God spoke from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. You listen to him. Hey, this book reveals to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He reveals to us the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You mark it down, the people today that deny the deity of Christ have not read with understanding this book right here. Because you cannot read it and then think Jesus is not God. You can't do that. It reveals that to us. I mean, when I think about, I'm glad it reveals that. But one other thing I'm glad it reveals, the future. I'm glad I don't have to go down the street here. There used to be, I don't know if the sign's still out there, haven't paid attention. But used to, you'd drive down into Haltom City and you'd come up on this really kind of nice looking house on the right hand side of Denton Highway, and it said palmistry. And there's a person there who would read your palm, tell you your future. I'm glad I don't have to trust somebody looking at my hand tell me my future. There's a thing called phrenology. Phrenology says it can tell your future by the bumps on your head. I've looked at people and I thought I could tell their past by the bumps on their head, but not necessarily the future. I'm glad that's not it. I'm glad I don't have to go to somebody that sits in some place somewhere and has this cloth over this crystal ball there, and they're running over and looking at it and said, "Ooh, I see." No, you don't. Hey, I'm glad I know what the future holds because of what this book says. I'm glad I know what the future holds. And it reveals it to us. We know what's coming. What a comfort that is. Hey, we know what to look for. We know what to look for. And we know that all this going on in the Middle East, we're not flabbergasted. Now, we still, because we're humans, we're amazed at the cruelty and the butchery and the savagery of some people. But we're not surprised that the world hates the Jew. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't been surprised at all the anti-Semitic statements that have been made and all the junk on college campuses, the sit-ins and all the marches and all the chants against Israel. Hey, I'm not surprised at that. This book told me that was going to happen. It reveals to us that future. Man, the great thing about it, though, for the child of God, it reveals we're on the winning side in this whole thing. We don't get, you know, there's an old chorus that we used to sing in Sunday school. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. How many of you remember singing that chorus? All right, we're going to have to learn it. A bunch of y'all don't know it, all right? Y'all went to the wrong Sunday school, okay? Hey, I remember singing it in the youth department when I was a youth director. Are we downhearted? You know, nowadays I think so many people, are we downhearted? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You and I as a child of God, no reason to be. Hey, we're on the winning side. As we say, and as has been said, we've read the back of the book. We know who wins. That's the side I'm on. I know how it's going to come out, okay? Know how it's going to come out. What a blessing it is. Mark, I'm just thankful that the Bible does that. I'm thankful the Bible does that. I'm thankful that the Bible reveals to us some things about when we die. That it's not going to be a terrible experience. It's not going to be scary. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. Hey, we don't have to do that. The songwriter put it this way, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not looking to die, I'm looking to live. All right? I'm looking to live and looking forward to that. Hey, the Bible reveals those things for us. What a blessing it is. Those of us, and I don't know if there's anybody in here who hadn't been touched by the death of a loved one. Oh, what a joy it is that we know, we knew they were saved. We knew they were saved. I could just click off folks. Oh, yeah, it was difficult for us, the sorrow. I'll say this, and this is not an indictment. But most of our grief and most of our sorrow is for ourselves. It's for ourselves. I don't shed tears for mom or dad and they're gone because, oh, it's just so terrible. It's just terrible to me. And I'm like other people. I'd like to have a few minutes to talk to dad again, get his opinion on some things. And so our sorrow oftentimes is for ourselves. Hey, by the way, I'm not chewing you out for that. That's normal. But man, our loved ones that are saved, we don't cry that for them. We cry for ourselves. We sorrow for ourselves, but not as those who have no hope. Because the Bible reveals to us. Bible reveals to us where they are. Hey, can I tell you, thank God for the Bible and its restrictions. Thank God for its rebuke. Thank God for its revelation. But you know what? I'm thankful for a little light for right now. And we're talking about, we know what the future is going to be. But look there in Psalm 119. Very, very familiar verse. But I just want to goad your memory again. Be thankful for the Bible, all right? Be thankful for the Bible. Psalm 119, down in verse 105. The Bible said, "Thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Hallelujah. The Bible doesn't just reveal the future, but it gives light on the path of life right now. Amen. Right now. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of confusion in our world. But wait a minute. The Bible gives light. The Bible helps us to know what to do. Helps us know what to do. Hey, it helps us know what decision to make. It helps us to know what direction to take. What direction should I take here? What decision should I make? You know, what in the world should I do in the midst of the troubling times in which we live and everything? Hey, the Bible gives you help. The Bible gives you light for those things. I don't have time to go into all of them, but let me just mention a few. It'll help you with your finances. The Bible will help you with your finances. If you'll take, read the scriptures and apply the standards and what God says, that basically it boils down to stewardship. Now, usually when we say anything about finances as a preacher, all right, here we go again. He's going to preach on giving. No, I want to preach on taking care of what God gives you. Taking care of what God gives you. You know, I've said it many times. I've heard it said long before I said it, that God tells us, hey, the first tenth, the tithe belongs to Him. But that 90% tests our stewardship. What are we going to do with what God's given us? And there's biblical principles in there, help you along with your finances. Could I just throw one out there? Don't spend it if you don't have it. You know, you'd think that'd be a given. But don't spend it if you don't have it. I heard on the radio this week that some credit card interest is running 30%. 30% interest. I learned back yonder early on when I first got my credit card. Learned early on, you can't get by if you don't pay it off every month. I remember getting a card and I remember going and buying some stuff and the bill comes in and I looked at it and said, I don't have to pay it all. This is all I have to pay. But boy, when that card came back, that bill came back the next month, I go, wait a minute. This ain't looking good. Alan, don't do it. Don't spend it. You say, well, I really need it. Hey, don't spend it if you don't have it. Bible principles. The Bible will help you with your finances. Bible will help you with your finances. Hey, the Bible will tell you how to treat your spouse. Bible will tell you how to treat your spouse. Help you get along. Now, the Bible tells us how to do those things. The Bible tells us how to raise kids. Don't listen to Dr. Spock. Don't listen to Oprah. She don't have any kids. Don't listen to her. Don't listen to her. I mean, you know, it's amazing to me the people I hear them interview and ask about, well, what do you suggest about raising children? Well, look at their kids. How are they doing? How are they doing? Hey, the Bible gives us help. The Bible gives us light for just living. Bible tell you how to get along with your neighbors. So, preacher, you don't know my neighbor. Nobody get along with that person. There's a way to get along with them. There is a way to get along. You say, well, I'd like to know how. Some of them, you stay away from them. You just stay away from them, all right? Hey, but the Bible gives us light for living. I'm glad. I am so thankful we've got a book that God gave to us that gave us what we need to know how to live this world. Look in Psalm 119, verse 89, all right? Look at verse 89, Psalm 119. I like this. Man, I'm so thankful for this truth. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for the consistency we find in the Word of God. It's just consistent all the way down the line. In spite of the attempt of so-called scholars who tell you, oh, we just need to interpret it. Yeah, and they get real creative in their interpreting, all right? But in spite of all they do, the Word of God is settled. It has not changed, it does not change, and it will not change. It's settled. It's settled. We voted. Well, maybe you voted yesterday or early voting. And I heard them talking about the Texas Constitution, constitutional amendments. And I heard somebody say that the Texas Constitution is the size of a big phone book. There are so many amendments in it. It's been added to, all right? All of that, they keep changing. We've got a U.S. Constitution that's getting ignored in our day, but even those that look at it want to change it. They want to change what it is and not keep that original intent. Hey, I'm so glad the Bible, it's settled. So thankful, it's settled. It's done. It's over with. We get, I don't know if you see these kind of things, but I see it at different places, a statement like the church needs to get with the times. You know, usually they're talking about the Catholic Church when they say that. If they think the Catholic Church is out of step with the times, they ought to come to a good independent fundamental Baptist church. And the deal is, well, you need to get it. Wait a minute. This book says we're to change the world, not let the world change us, and not to accommodate what we believe with what the world teaches. We're not to do that. Hey, this book is consistent. It's consistent. Hey, it's consistent all the way through in its treatment of sin. Never okays it. Never okays sin. It never says, hey, it's okay to tell a little white lie. What in the world a white lie is, okay? Never says okay to do that. It never okays sin. It always says sin is wrong. All the time. It's consistent. Hey, it's consistent about sinners. It's consistent about sinners, consistent about lost sinners. That lost sinner, if that lost sinner doesn't get saved, they'll spend an eternity in hell. That's not good, but it's consistent. A, it's consistent on salvation. You must be born again. There's only one way. Only one way. Thank God for his consistency. You're still there in Psalm 119. Look in verse 165. Man, I like this. Thank God for the peace that the Bible gives us. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace if you love the law. Now listen, if you really love it, you're going to do what it says. Don't go around saying, y'all, I really love it, but no. If you really love it, you'll do what it says. Then the Bible turns around and says, great peace have they which love thy law. Man, you talk about peace, it comes. The Word of God gives us that peace. Just obeying it, living the life God says, we just stick with that book, the peace that overwhelms us. Man, the songwriter said there's peace in the time of trouble. There's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace though the world be raging. And there is peace. There is peace. We can have that peace. The Bible said we can have that peace that passeth all understanding. Folks don't understand. There are people that come and they'd come to a service like this and they say, what in the world is wrong with you people? How can you be that way? When we had my dad's funeral, and the building was full, and my brother got up. He said, all right, let's sing a song. And there was a lady here that is a good friend of mine, my wife, and she knows us. And she thought, man, he's just kind of going too far. Just kind of going too far. But she didn't know it was my brother. All right, she didn't know that. Hey, you and I, we can rejoice and even enjoy the Word of God at a funeral service because God gives us peace. He gives us peace. Man, when I stood to preach Dad's funeral, there was peace. There was peace. When I stood to preach Mom's funeral, there was peace. There was peace. And I could say that about numerous people because there was that peace because knowing what the Word of God says. Hey, do you think about it? How thankful are you for the Bible? Without the Bible, we would just be left with the opinions of people. The opinions of people. By the way, that's what they're trying to do in setting the Word of God aside. We'd just be left with the opinions of people. Then we'd be left with that situation that I've heard people say, well, what's wrong for you may not be wrong for me. And what's wrong for me might not be wrong for you. That is a brilliantly stupid saying. No sense in it whatsoever. Hey, but if there was no Bible, we would just be left with the opinions of people, and people's opinions constantly change. Oftentimes they get twisted by those who have the loudest voice. Twisted. Hey, man, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for this book. Thankful for the Word of God. And, boy, the Bible says it's good. We read that verse, Psalm 92, when we started. We'll go back there and we'll be done. Psalm 92, we read that verse that said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I think with all my heart, one thing we ought to thank Him for is the book He gave us. The book He gave us. The confidence we can have in it. It's the preserved Word of God. What a blessing. How wonderful to know we've got His Word. We can have peace. We've got restrictions. Thank God we need them. We get rebuked. We don't like it, but we need it. Thank God for it. Hey, right on down the line, God blesses us. Thank God for His book. Thank God for His book. Would you bow your heads tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hey, listen. I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want you to think a minute. Are you reading it? Are you reading His book? A lot of times we get into trouble. We don't know because we haven't read it. Or spend some time reading it.